Hello, drama lovers. I don't know why I said that, but it felt right for today. Welcome, welcome, welcome to new and old listeners of the pod. It's Connor here. Thank you for finding us. Thank you for coming back. We've got an amazing episode for you today with Eva Noblezada, the star of Hadestown, Tony nominated for her work there and for Miss Saigon. Literally voice of an angel, some might even say songbird. Okay, I'm a theater queen, king, queen. Delete that. But anyway, if you are new to the pod or if you've listened before, we do have bonus content for you on our Patreon, patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where every week we bring you bonus episodes. We've got, probably 75 bonus episodes on there at this point. You can watch some past interviews with some of your favorite guests. We also give you exclusive access to our close friends on Instagram, and it is spicy. You do not want to miss it. Thank you for listening to us. If you love us, go give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Go follow us there. Follow us on Spotify and also give us a review there. And spread the word to all of your friends. You're going to love this episode with Eva. And if you love it, we have literally over 100 other episodes with the stars of Broadway's Yesteryear and Tomorrow. Okay, I'm sounding like an old-timey, like old Hollywood T Turner Classic Movies host, which is maybe my next calling. But anyway, thank you. We love you. It's time for the show.
Press play. Curtain of an hour in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I'm Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Now, Connor, this episode is going to come out much later than when this actually happened, but we need to talk about the Oscar nominations.
I know. Can you believe that they happened a few days ago, but it feels like it's been 100 years already?
Well, especially because on the famous website, twitter.com, I feel like everything's been, rehashed and debated and discussed just beyond the pale of what we normally would be talking about. It seems like everyone actually is participating in the Oscars this year.
I feel that from the general vibe, right? Like, maybe it's because a lot of things are on streamers. Well, I guess they kind of were last year too. I don't know. But
yeah,
what do you think is going to win, like best picture or I don't know.
I don't know, because I really loved a lot of the movies. I think my favorite movie, because I'm the theater kid at heart, was West Side Story. I don't know if it'll win best picture, but it'd be really cool if it did.
Yeah.
I think my biggest snub, though,
drama,
was El Gaga being left off the list for Best Actress.
Isn't that wild?
I do not understand what happened.
I don't get it either.
People are saying on Twitter, again, mentioned it already, that this is like when Cher was nominated for her first Oscar, and then the second movie she was in, she was skipped over, and then the third one, she came back and won for Moonstruck. So maybe this will be...
Oh my God.
Maybe her next movie she'll win. But granted, she has her Oscar for A Star is Born for the song, but this performance was unreal. The Oscars campaign has been legendary. Like, it's just, what more could we ask for like the greatest star of our generation?
Oh my God. I'm gagged by that wording. I'm so with you. I'm so with you. Yeah, that's a huge snub.
What is your biggest snub?
Probably like for all the nominations that Belfast got, Katrina Balf being left off was weird to me because she was the best performance in the film, in my opinion, and she's such an empathetic performer, and she was nominated for so many things. I mean, she was kind of the lead, but they were putting her in supporting and all that stuff, but I truly don't know what happened there, because for me personally, that was the best performance in the film, other than just looking at Jamie Dornan. But
well,
we've been
I've
discussed that to death. But anyway, Dylan, we should jump in here because I am so excited about our guest today, who is also one of the greatest stars of our generation.
Oh my God, you gave me chills because it's true. It's true. It's true.
I know. Would you do us the honor of reading her in?
Absolutely. Our guest today is a two-time Tony Award nominee for Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role in a Musical. The first of those nominations came with her Broadway debut as Kim in the latest revival of Miss Saigon in 2017. Her critically acclaimed portrayal also garnered her a Theatre World Award for Outstanding Broadway Debut. For the same role on the West End, she received the What's on Stage Award for Best Actress in a Musical. She also starred as Eponine in Les Miserables in London, and she's currently appearing as Eurydice in Hadestown on Broadway. Our guest received that other aforementioned Tony nomination for that, as well as won the 2020 Grammy Award for Best Musical Theater Album. Her talents go beyond the stage, as she can be seen as the lead role in Yellow Rose, an indie coming-of-age film. As a high school student in Charlotte, North Carolina, she was discovered by casting director Tara Rubin at the 2013 Jimmy Awards in New York City. And the rest, as they say, is herstory. Are you gagging so? Please welcome to drama, Eva Nomazada.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing today? Are you well?
I'm well. It's snowing in New York. It was like 52 degrees yesterday. So I'm a bit like, whoa, what's happening?
I know. It's crazy. I hadn't like looked out my window yet when I woke up, but I saw on Instagram, of course, the other famous website, that it was snowing outside. And I was in shock. I was in shock. I didn't wear a jacket yesterday.
I was still awake at 7, and I was like, oh, it's starting to snow.
I do not understand. You were telling us before we hit record that you're a night owl. I do not understand how you were up until 7.
We were drinking, and we have a Tempur-Pedic bed. So it was up. We were like, let's keep going.
Do you watch TV like that late, or are you watching movies, or?
Depends. We're currently watching Pam and Tommy, but we have to wait for each episode because life is cruel that way.
I know. I'm just waiting until they all come out, and then I'm just going to do a full binge.
That's really smart.
How is it?
It's incredible.
Yeah. I love both of them.
It's incredible. I think you're going to be like, oh my God, this is 50 times better than what I thought it was going to be. And it looks very good on the trailer. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, I didn't even recognize, what is her name?
Lily James.
I was like, for some reason, I thought it was Margot Robbie because she did I, Tanya with Sebastian Stan.
Very
and so
true.
I was like, oh yeah.
She kind of sounds like her Lily. Sometimes, like in that movie. Mm-hmm. But they put on some tiggle bitties on her and she looks so good.
Eva, you were nodding earlier when we were talking about
Gaga?
Lady Gaga on House of Gucci. Do you feel the same that she should have been nominated?
Of course I feel the same. I saw it twice because Reeve Carney plays Tom Ford in House of Gucci with Lady Gaga. And, you know, being proud, me, I had to see it as much as possible, the theaters. And it's just like, she was remarkable. I don't know if this is the time for tea.
There's always time for tea.
Look, this is what pisses me off. You're going to give all this, people got so excited about Jared, who I thought you did a great job. Yes. Mm-hmm. But also, like, it's the makeup artist that make him unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. It's prosthetics, and it's, you know, his performance is also great. But can we not make his performance all about his transformation? Like, he didn't gain the weight and do all that stuff. That's literally makeup.
So
and
true.
That should, in my opinion, that should not be considered part of performance.
Yeah.
That's just what happens when you're a character. You transform, and you do the rest when it comes to intention. Lady Gaga was superb. Superb. She was incredible.
And that was a transformation.
Yes, it was. It's possible to do it without makeup on her.
Did Reeve get to meet her? I can't remember if they were in any scenes. I don't think they were in any scenes together.
He didn't get to meet her, but I went to the New York premiere and she was 3 feet away from me and she said, excuse me, to me.
Polite. Polite.
She's now, are you around the same height? Because she's 5'2", famously.
Okay, she's really small, but like the bad that she is, she never wears a heel. I'm guessing under 4.5 inches.
Oh, yeah.
So she knows how to, I mean, she looked stunning. Oh my God, it was so exciting.
I'm trying to remember what she wore to that premiere.
I think it was the black.
Yeah, I think it was.
Black, yes. Because I remember I was just like, oh my God, it's her. She was like, excuse me. And I was like, queen, your excuse. Whatever you want, punch me in the face.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, as Connor mentioned, we are fans. This is like so exciting for us. I'll never forget when you splashed onto the scene with Miss Saigon back in 2016-17. And I remember thinking, who is this young girl? You were a woman.
Yeah. Broadway, I had already been on the West End for like 3.5-4 years by that time. So, and it was just weird doing Saigon, but technically the second time for me in New York. It was weird, but it was exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine like making your Broadway debut in that role is daunting.
It was daunting because revivals are subject to so much comparison, obviously, but also, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people have their opinions so close to their chest. It's really special to them how they feel about certain companies and certain cast members in certain roles. And they almost like come into the theater with like, I know I'm not going to like this. And it's like, well, then you probably won't.
Yeah.
So like, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice when you go watch something that is trying to be a new experience because it's new people. And it's, you know, that year was a lot. That's the best word I can explain.
I can imagine. It was also a jam-packed theater season. I remember there was like a record number of new musicals and all the revivals.
Yeah. Hello, Dolly and Comet. And yeah. And Comet. There's so many great shows that I didn't get a chance to see because I was doing a damn show.
And there's no alternate Kim in the second?
There was.
Okay.
But I didn't feel comfortable going to the theater on those times off because if someone was like, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. I should be at the Broadway theater. So that kind of sucked.
Oh, I can imagine. God, theater fans are like the best, but also the worst. And I say that as one of them. Like, and as you get older, you realize like the things that people say to actors were things that they should never say to a human being. Oh,
Dylan, I can write a book.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I'm only 26 years old. I can write a book about that.
Do you do the stage door?
I used to. We used to do it as much as possible, but with COVID, yeah, it's been a little like, eh. It's funny now that the mask mandate has been lifted in New York City. Everyone's like, oh, so they're playing Broadway. And we're like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, thank goodness. Thank goodness.
And then, yeah. Yeah, thank goodness indeed.
You were just that Maya Rudolph gift where she's like, mm-mm.
Now, when did Hadestown start playing again this past fall?
I think it was September.
How has it been?
It's been interesting.
Yeah.
It's been... it's really been interesting. Most importantly, though, it's just great to have a job back, mm-hmm, and be able to pay rent on time. That was kind of scary. So very just blessed to be able to have a place to work and flex my muscles that I've trained for so long in a place where it's respected and appreciated. So that's wonderful. But it has been interesting. You know, there's a new stress of not even, it's a big stress, I'm sure you two can imagine, of just like COVID, mm-hmm, just like the word is just used as much as the word the, like every day. Mm-hmm. And it's really stressful. We shut down again for like a week and a half in December and a bunch of us got COVID. Ugh. And it was just like so weird because like you want to just be at work and you're like, this is so strange and everything shuts down again. But other than that, it's been great to just be in front of live audiences again who really missed Broadway. It's been really special.
I can imagine. I mean, I'm such a Hadestown fan. I interned at New York Theater Workshop in the summer of 2016 when it was
amazing.
You know, it was so new to me, but I mean, they had been working on it for so long and I'll never forget seeing it. It was like, I just moved to New York like a week before. Hadestown was the first thing I'd seen as a New Yorker. And it was just, it blew me away. And I mean, it's gotten even better, mm-hmm, with time and, yeah, as they've moved it from, you know, Canada, and weren't they on the West End as well, I think? Or
mm-hmm. Yeah, baby. We went to the National Theater.
Yes.
We were, that is crazy. Olivier. That is unreal. Was it the same staging as Broadway at the National?
Yes and no. For the most part, it was. But London had a much wider, bigger stage. And the VOM, or the drum that goes down, is like 3-4 feet deeper. So there is a more grander sense of space and environment. Broadway, of course, I think the stage is so small and we have to compact everything. But for the most part, like choreography was the same. A lot of my blocking changed because Orpheus and Eurydice, I'm okay. I'm absolutely fine. Don't worry about me. Orpheus and Eurydice's characters really evolved. This was the biggest evolvement in their characters and their relationship from London to Broadway. So that kind of changed the blocking a little bit.
Interesting. Oh, I'm suddenly so curious. When did Hadestown come into your life?
Oh, great question. Okay. So it was literally a very beautiful, like perfect end of spring, close to summer day in 2017. And I was just getting ready to go do my matinee and I get a call from my managers and they're like, this amazing musical is at New York Theater Workshop. And of course I was like, great, I can't see it, or I didn't get to see it because I'm always doing dang shows. Very, very grateful. They're really interested in you reading or looking at the part of Eurydice. And they sent me the name of the album and they were like, okay, so just listen to the music and tell me if you're interested. And so the first song I listened to was Wedding Song from the New York Theater Workshop album. And I was like, okay, hold on. And then I restarted it because it was only like 10 seconds. And I was like, wait, is this is my iPad on shuffle, or like, is my phone on shuffle? Because this doesn't sound like a musical to me. And so I went back to the beginning and I listened to it and I was like, okay. And then I listened to Flowers and I was like, okay. Yeah, I was really excited because the music was so beautiful and I was so ready. Listen, I was so ready to not sing Miss Saigon.
Yeah.
Anything else? Give me anything yeah. else.
I mean, how many years have you been doing it?
Like, too long.
Yeah. In 8 shows too a week long. Or 6 shows a week, or whatever, it's like.
Yeah, that and then Les Mis.
I give my life for you gets old.
I give, yeah, it's like my life is already, it's Miss, you know, it's just Miss Saigon, which is like not that. But so I was like, immediately texted my manager back. I was like, yes, 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 I'm doing this audition. And I had one audition, which was one of the worst auditions, I think, of my life. And it was a chemistry reading with Reed. And I was like, I didn't put 2 and 2 together. So I walked in and I was like, Reed Carneal, I feel like I've heard that name before. And then I walk in and I was like, oh my God, I've seen your butt. I watched Penny Dreadful. I've literally seen your butt. And I was like, oh, yes. Oh my God. And it's a good butt. It made me really nervous.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It made me really nervous. And so I was looking at him and I was like, kind of looking at the director and I was like, this is a joke, right? You're wanting us to chemistry read. I literally look like a potato and this is Dorian Gray.
Oh my God, stop.
He was, and then looking back, he was like, I thought you didn't like me. And I was like, no. You were great. I didn't like the situation. Yeah. I thought I was being pranked. So stupid.
Oh my gosh. I never heard that story before.
Really embarrassing.
It's funny because I have Reeve Carney to me was separated into two parts of my brain. It was like he was Spider-Man and he was in the I Knew You Were Trouble Taylor Swift video. But those two things never came together for me. And he just existed in both worlds in that way.
Right. That's called versatility. Yeah. We'll get to that tea later. I heard there's a part of this where we talk about pop culture tea and I'm ready for this because I know exactly what I want to talk about.
Oh my God. I know. When we were doing the rundown at the beginning, you nodded. I was like, oh, she's coming with tea.
Oh, I'm ready. I read the breakdown. And I was like, I'm always prepared. Get ready.
So you did this chemistry read. And when you walked out of it, were you like, it's not happening? It's over?
I thought that because we did Wedding Song 2 or 3 times, just playing off each other's bodies and, you know, just seeing what the staging would feel, just playing with each other. And then I sang Flowers. And I only sang Flowers twice. And for me, my strong suit is a sad ballad. That's all I do. And I'm very good at my job. That's the one thing that I was like, maybe. But I also was second. I think they only had 2 auditions that day. So I was able to hear the first Eurydice sing in the room. Oh. And me, my stupid ass, I'm always like, she's fierce. She got the job. I'm going to go to the bathroom and cry. She's fierce. But yeah, thankfully it worked out.
Can I ask who it was?
I think I know, but I don't want to put a name out there in case it wasn't her.
Okay.
That's fair.
Whoever she was fierce.
What do you think about Eurydice now after spending so much time with her?
Ooh, she's taught me a lot. I hate saying that sometimes because people are like, well, that means you're bringing yourself too much into your kick. It's like, everyone's different. Shut up.
Yes.
She's really taught me a lot. And if anything, I always said, it feels like I'm walking amongst the constellations because the vernacular surrounding the show is very epic. I mean, thus having 3 songs in the show called Epic 1, Epic 2, Epic 3. So it's very vivid dream. There's a lot of familiarity, but there's also a lot of whoa, what's behind this door? So it's almost like I really have to put a weight to one of my feet so that I don't just completely get swept away of even enjoying Hadestown. I have to remember the second I come out, anybody got a match, I am Eurydice through and through. Even if I love her so much, my goal is, of course, you to not see any of Eva. And thankfully that's based off audience response. And, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm doing that. I hope I am. Mm-hmm. But,
oh yes.
But Eurydice has definitely evolved naturally because I've evolved naturally. So there have been parts of my show that felt a little, not as smooth. So of course, over time things get smooth and like erosion, there's a rock and I'm getting so weirdly poetic. There's like a rock in a stream and over time and with pressure and, over repetition, it becomes this really beautiful, smooth looking. I love rocks. Look, it's like a cool rock. It's been here for such a long time. Yeah. She definitely feels different. Like if I compared her next to my 2019 early stages, I'd be like, oh, wow. Same body, different vein completely.
Drama. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
You've been spending a lot of time with Anais Mitchell's music because you're very poetic in the way you speak.
Yes. Well, also, I think it's the trauma that opened up a whole world of how I explain and describe my life. Also, being a quintuple Pisces, I have a lot of water in me.
Wow.
Quintuple. I have 5 Pisces in my chart.
Whoa.
I'm tired.
You're an artist.
I'm tired.
Wait, so is your birthday coming up then?
Yes. The day after St. Patrick's Day, so March 18th.
Nice.
Okay. It's a Friday this year.
Thank God. And thankfully, I have a show. No, I always have a show on my birthday, or I'm in tech. It's really exciting.
It's one or the other, the life of an actor.
Yeah.
You'll be 27?
I'll be 26. I round my age. Okay. Because I always go, how old do you think I am? Everyone's like, 21? And I'm like, no, you're wrong.
You do look so young. You can play high school for at least another 10 years if you want to.
Yeah, which is a good thing and a bad thing because I'm definitely ready to not play that.
Like the young girl role, like...
I feel like this at this point, like old actress who is like been on many stages internationally, who's like, I have a story for you. That's how I feel. That's like what I feel. Yeah, but I'm not that.
Elaine Stritch vibes.
Literally.
Yeah. We do like to kind of go back to the beginning of your career because you have this remarkable story of being discovered at the Jimmy Awards, but obviously your love of theater probably started much sooner, or at least your love of performing. Connor, do you want to explain the Ring of Keys moment for those who are tuning in for the first time?
Yes, for our first time listeners, we've borrowed a phrase from Fun Hum and we've turned it into our own spin where we ask people about the Ring of Keys moment, that moment of recognition where they were like, oh, I love this and I need this in my life forever. Do you feel like you had that ring of key in your mind, in your mind's eye?
Absolutely. I also love that. The second I saw that on the breakdown, I was like, that's so cute. I love that so much.
Thank you.
I loved Fun Home. I saw it in London. It was amazing.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was so, so great. I did. So I always make the joke that I came out of my mother's vagina singing. And she hates that because obviously, like, why would you talk about your mother's vagina in public? But I always loved not performing, but more being in stories and being a connecting point to what was in my brain and what I saw and what other people wanted to hear. And when I was old, how old was I? I think I was like 5, 6 years old. I lived in San Diego up until I was like 8. I was raised there, born there and raised. And my papa had this amazing backyard because he worked on cars. He was an electrician. He was a carpenter. He was a genius. So he had all of these tools, all of this wood, all of these just like hardware. And I remember going back there one day and like, I'm going to make a stage. And I made a stage. I mean, this is how Filipinos do it. I was like, Papa, can I have this hammer? He's like, go ahead, be careful. I'm like 5, 6 years old. He's like, no one cares. Like if a little child's walking with a hammer and like 5-inch nails. So I start hammering and I make this like really rickety ass stage. And I employ my cousin to help me. And I'm like, we're going to put on a play. And I put out, you know, the white plastic lawn chairs. And I was like, we're going to make a play, a performance. People are going to come and we will be charging them. Because always I'm trying like chasing the, give me your money. So that was like number one. And I remember thinking, I might perform Reflection tonight. Because obviously Mulan like changed my life being a real Asian girl. That was the first time I think like my mom was like, oh no, she really likes the singing thing. And then later on, we moved to North Carolina. I was introduced to Phantom of the Opera, the movie.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's it. Then I want to be an opera singer. So I would just, I know every line to that musical, every line to that musical.
And you still feel fondly about the Emmy Rossum performance as...
I feel fond of the Christine. Emmy Rossum performance. Like I won't say no to using like French lavender soap. It's like, it's not my favorite, but it's pretty. I like it.
Yeah. And probably when you were introduced to it, you didn't know like that people, like it wasn't necessarily people's favorite, but I always thought it was
fun. I had no idea. But that was, Phantom of the Opera was my first, other than the Disney movies I'd grown up watching, Phantom of the Opera was my first like actual real life, real people. And because you see the stage, the opera house, and I thought, oh, this must be how these people live. Because I was only like 9 and I got like a freaking Phantom of the Opera poster and my wall. And then the more I, because of Phantom and because moving to North Carolina, I was around my auntie Annette, who was on Broadway. She was like, oh, okay. And then the second she found out that I wanted to be an opera singer, she was like, this is Broadway. And she showed me everything. She's kind of the reason why I'm doing what I do.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. So she was on Broadway.
She was actually Understudy Kim in the original production of Saigon. And my cousin, Brian, was the original Tam with Leia.
Is he the one that helped you build the stage in the backyard?
No, I made sure I think they were already living in New York or New Jersey. I employed a cousin who was like in diapers. And I was like, you need to get to work. We're building a stage. Get your shit together.
This feels like a scene from Rugrats.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yes.
So did you sing Reflection, though, that faded night?
Reflection every day. And I sing Part of Your World every day. My mom, at one point, I remember we moved to North Carolina. She suffers with migraines. Bless my mom. I love her so much. I would put on this blue blanket around my shoulders and sing Wishing You Were Somewhere Here Again, maybe twice a day. And there was one day where if I were her, I would have lost my patience years ago. Opened the door and she was like, Eva, shut up. Yeah, I was always singing.
I need to hear you sing that song, Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again. When can you perform it in New York?
I'll get back to you in the foreseeable future.
Okay.
I know that you had that residency for a while at the Green Room.
Oh, I still do. Cool. I've been.
You still do?
I've been selling out shows there for 5 years.
Yeah. Yes.
I have a show there about every month.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's so fun. What is the show like? Like, what do you do like just whatever you want to say?
Not Broadway, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Not Broadway. Sometimes I do, but you know, it has to be chill. If you know what I mean, it can't be hyper Broadway.
I love the vibe. Well, it's probably some sad ballads, as you mentioned.
Always
your favorite things like
When I Look at You from the Scarlet Pimpernel. I'll sing. I love that song. See, I knew you two would know that song.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, my boyfriend introduced us to it like a year or two ago, and it was like a big quarantine bop for us.
I love how Scarlet Pimpernel is a quarantine bop. That makes you really happy. That's like deep appreciation. That's deep right there.
Right.
That's amazing.
I'll always hold it close. Well, I'm so glad that you made that stage and that you ultimately found Phantom. Did you end up signing up for like community theater or anything like that once you were in North Carolina?
I did. I went to an awesome and very low budget. And when I say low budget, I mean broke ass middle school, high school for performing arts. And the good thing about having no money, but having a lot of talent and passion in kids is that like, we're going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the hard work ethic that I think, you know, the school wasn't privileged in that way. We had no money like at all. So it was up to us and we knew that. So it was up to us to kind of band together and go, okay, we have to make this great. Everything we do has to be great. So there was a high level of perfection that needed to be hit by our bodies and what we were doing. So I learned a lot just by like banding together with these kids who were just as passionate as me about theater. But the first show that I ever did was Cinderella. And I had one line. I said, "Why shouldn't he propose to me? The prince is giving a ball."
Oh, yeah.
It was the first show I did at that school. And the first regional show I did was at the Children's Theater of Charlotte. And I was a harem girl at 14. And I mean, when I say they pushed my titties up at 14, they're like, "We don't care how old you are. We need you to be a harem girl because there's not enough people who can do it." That was wildly inappropriate and a lot of fun.
What show was that?
Aladdin. Mm-hmm. I was one of the three.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That was your first taste of what they'll do to young women in the industry. They're like, "We don't care. We're going to have you push your titties up and you're going to be a harem girl at 14.
We could talk about this all day.
I'm sure you know. I mean, look, and then a couple years later, you're on the West End doing a crash course and...
Well, not really crash course. I'm on the West End and they're doing the same exact thing to me that you just said. You need to lose weight. We're going to put you on Roaccutane. We highly recommend that you go on contraception. Sending food to my door for a month and a half, making me see a personal trainer during tech.
What?
It was horrible.
And you were like a teenager still.
Yeah, I was 17 years old.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. My agent sent a foul email to Cameron's. And I wish that one day I could look at the costume designer to her face and say, you know, karma, bitch. It was horrible. I mean, you think that you get hired for talent. And I realized, unfortunately, that's not a thing all the time in this industry. I didn't grow up seeing many people who looked like me or anyone else that I had grown up around on screen, unless they were a supportive character to somebody else who was like the idea of beauty. Yeah. When you close your eyes and think of what does a beautiful woman look like? That's who I saw. So of course I can't change what I look like other than maybe losing weight and clearing up my skin. And that was the first thing they were like, "You got to lose weight." So they sent food to my door, literally three meals and two snacks in a big lunchbox for like a month during tech and previews.
And didn't they have you like doing double duty too? Like you were Eponine and then you all like while you were working on.
Yeah, essentially they did was I got the role of Kim. And because Cameron was like, oh, she has no experience. Okay. So he put me into Les Mis for like I was in for like 2.5 months and I wasn't even in the playbill. I was just like third horror to the left. but I learned the show and I was in the show just to get used to like show schedule, show vernacular, like getting into my body. And also because it's Cameron's show too. So he like can do whatever he wants. And that was for the 2.5 months before I started rehearsals for Miss Saigon.
Okay. That was what I'm remembering. Okay.
And not many people know that I was in Les Mis twice. So I technically was a part of 4 different casts of Les Mis based off like the timing of that. And it was crazy, but it was amazing to get that experience before leading a West End show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you got to sing on my
That was in 2016. Yeah. I got 15, 16. I got Eponine. But yeah, third horror to the left was fun because it was like that was my first experience being an ensemble member. It was the best time.
I imagine there's lots of camaraderie of being in the ensemble.
Yes. I think like Les Mis is special too. Like it's always going to hold a special place in my heart. It's because the ensemble, there's so many roles the ensemble plays, throughout the whole entire show. And then you can't get over that that musical bum bum. Like every night I'd be like, this is crazy. Finally Miss.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, okay, so we've kind of covered a lot of the bigger roles that you've done, but can you tell us anything about Yellow Rose and if it's like available to watch or stream? Yeah. Or what's the story?
Bless
there?
You guys. It's like the only movie I've done because I don't have time to do other movies. Yeah, it's available everywhere. It was an awesome thing to do. I have 2 movies coming out this year that got pushed back to August because I think COVID just ruined everything. Mm-hmm. One of them's a comedy with Joe Coy and called Easter Sunday, and the other one's an animation called Luck with Jane Fonda.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Not a big deal. You guys are very nice. So you guys are very nice.
Well, we love Jane Fonda in this.
Jane Fonda. I was like, wait, she... Okay, great. I just see my pants. Yeah. It's amazing. I love it.
These have been in the can for a while and they just like the release was what was delayed.
Yeah. It's been public knowledge. I don't post things on my page because that's the publicist's job. I've always felt really weird about self-promoting because Instagram is already kind of self-promotion. So it feels even more weird to post. I don't know. I just makes me feel weird.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. I can imagine. And you have, so many eyes are on you already. You know, it's your job is having people's eyes on you when you're on stage. Mm-hmm. And then they're also watching you online. It's probably a weird thing that you can't think about too much or it'll make you feel uncomfortable.
I don't give a shit, actually. To be honest with you, I truly believe that like if I'm myself all the time, that I will attract things and people and energies that gel and vibe with me. And thankfully, if I'm myself all the time, I also can see what things are not for me and I can go next. So I think the whole thing about the self-promotion thing is just because I'm in Hadestown now and those projects aren't coming out for like months. Like, so there's no point of me like bragging about it now and just wait till it's like, oh yeah, this is coming out next week. You know? Yeah.
I find it interesting in your career that it seems like the shows you're in have such passionate fans. I mean, especially Hadestown, I feel like it is one of those new shows that's finally just on Broadway in the last couple of years, but it feels like it has such staying power and people are so passionate about it. I mean, I know you can't stay in it forever, but whenever you move on to the next thing, what do you feel like you would love to do next if you could choose anything? What do you feel like?
Not a musical. That came out too fast.
You were ready.
No, but I just, that's me being so dumb and funny, but I really, really need a break from doing the show schedule. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you how excited I am for the next project, but also like, I love going to work. I've been doing this for so long. The only break I've ever had not doing 8 or 6 shows a week was the pandemic. And that's not a break. That's trauma for everyone. That's unemployment. Yeah. So when I say I'm tired and I'm so ready to do something else, and flex my muscles elsewhere where I'm kind of ready to do so, I'm very excited to see what that is. Because I'm tired. 17, that's when I started doing the schedule. So I'm tired.
Yeah, you deserve a break and a real, real break. Maybe some traveling. Maybe somewhere.
That would be great. That would be so nice. It'd be great to take Petunia to Mexico, you know, where she's from. Not really. She was from Indiana.
Yes, that's her ancestors.
Yes,
you know,
her and I's ancestors will go visit.
Do you still have family in North Carolina?
Yes. So most of my family, if they're not in San Diego or Arizona or North Carolina or the Philippines, they're doing their thing. Those are the four. Yeah.
Okay. Do you ever get to go to any of those places to visit?
Nope.
Or have you?
We don't get time off.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's really just like, it's crazy. I mean, I could ask for a week off, but like, I'd rather go somewhere warm and sunny, but also like they don't give me and Reeve time off together because it's all about the money.
Oh, I forget that. Is it performing to like working together every night? Yeah.
It's fun. It's also just like sometimes like on a two show day, we'll be like, oh, I feel like I'm sitting all day because, you know, I'm not Eva. He's not Reeve on stage.
Yeah.
But it's really nice. Right. It's a really nice sense of comfort. And I'm really grateful that he hasn't gotten tired of me yet because working together and living together, it's like, we're always with each other. I love it. I think it's the best life. Fingers crossed that he's not like, he wakes up today and he's like, what the hell am I doing? Get out of my house.
Now, does he sleep? Does he sleep longer than you?
When I say yes, the capital Y, yes. Yeah. I wake up a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm always having meetings in the morning. He doesn't schedule them like that because I don't know why.
He's like a rock star. He like needs
he
to
He really
be,
is.
Like,
he genuinely you know. Is a rock star.
Did you see him in Spider-Man?
No. And I was either in North Carolina in high school and we didn't have the money to come up as much, or I was in London. Because I think it finished in what, 2012?
I think
that
so.
Feels right.
Oh wait, no, so I would have still been in high school. Yeah. But I didn't have the money to come up here and see him in that. But I definitely knew of his name because of the Taylor Swift video, which our dance contemporary three at North of School of the Arts did a contemporary dance to the I Knew You Were Trouble. So the universe making connections before I could even understand.
That's drama.
That gives me chills. Wait,
okay, speaking of drama, we do like to end on a dose of drama, which is something we like to share with the listeners, a pop culture recommendation, something to rant about, rave about, maybe something you've been binging or want to tell everybody to go and see. And I'll kick mine off today because there is something I'm feeling very dramatic about, and it's on the topic of Oscar-nominated films. And in New York, I belong to this AMC A-List program where you spend like $24 a month, which I know is a lot, but you can see up to 3 movies a week at AMC theaters. And so you're kind of getting away with murder with it, honestly, because
that's great.
If you go see like one movie on like a Friday night, it could be like $18-19 anyway. So 24 for as many as you want. It's great. But you know, I'm trying to see all the films that are up for awards. I'm dying to see Parallel Mothers, Drive My Car, Worst Person in the World. And AMC is not playing any of them. And it's, I don't understand. I know that I'm, like I said, getting away with murder with AMC A-List, but I'm feeling discouraged. I don't want to pay to go to another movie theater when I'm already paying for movies for the month anyway. So I'm just feeling really, really dramatic about it. And I need to see my movies.
Can't you just, isn't that a tax write-off for both theaters? Tickets. Right. Tickets are a tax write-off for art for self-employed artists.
Wow. Oh, I'm learning.
Yeah.
I'm learning today.
It is tax season,
honey. Come on.
Oh my gosh.
Get those ticket stubs or write-offs. Go to freaking iPad.
Almost
and
everything.
Yourself. Have a dinner and a cocktail and watch one of those movies and be like, what's this bill for? And to your accountant say, that's my job. Can you write this off, please? Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm learning.
See, this is the stuff we need to know.
Do you have a dose of drama?
I do. And it's like about like social cues. Like it's like, I have, this is like, so like, you know, like when you're making plans with friends and it's sort of like vague, you might all be going out on a Saturday night or something. And someone's like, yes, I'll see you tonight. And then they just stop replying. And then they reply like the next day, be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't.
People do that?
They do that. And it's just like, why don't you just say, hey, I'm actually going to do this instead. Instead of like being like, instead of ghosting, you know, like, it's like, what if I was waiting up or like, we were waiting to go to this place. I don't know. I'm being so vague here because I don't want to like make anyone upset, but.
Wait, Dylan, are you saying to me that, for example, if you and I made plans to go mm-hmm. out for dinner and drinks tonight,
mm-hmm.
and I said, okay, look, 7-ish, great. And you're starting to get ready and you're like, ready, I'm about to leave the house. And I just don't respond to you. Is that what you're saying? And then I don't talk to you at all until the next day.
Yes. But I will say,
new friend.
I will say it's more so like in a group setting, like if there's like a group of people gathering. So it's not like I'm like just waiting on the one person, but it's basically what you
said. That's even worse because there's more people who can and should respond.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is why I don't make friends.
I understand.
Because I'm scared.
I understand.
I'm scared.
I know. It's like, it discourages me sometimes because I'm like, well,
I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. It's so petty, but it's like this happened last night.
No, that's petty. Their behavior is petty.
Yes. And I know this person's very anxious. And so like, it probably is not easy for them to say, hey, I've got other plans instead. But isn't there more anxiety? As an anxious person myself, there's more anxiety of the apology text that I have to send the next day and cop to like being guilty about it. I don't know.
Look, as someone who's very anxious, has openly talked about her anxiety mm-hmm. and everything since the day I was born. You have to also be accountable of your actions. Mm-hmm. You can't just label yourself as somebody who's anxious and not do anything about it, because you're also then, in my opinion, no one should ever have to be to victimize themselves for something that they can feel better about.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just because I have anxiety and I'm feeling like shit most days, I don't want to just say I have anxiety. I guess I'll just feel like shit. No, I can find ways to not feel like shit.
Yes.
And so maybe one day I'll wake up and be like, oh, actually, I haven't thought about that one thing. Or I, you know, when I came across a trigger today and I didn't, because I've just been trying to make, you know, rewire my brain and do things that make me feel whatever, or talk to myself a certain way. I didn't actually make me upset.
Yes.
Mark, you're just more accountable for yourself and then how you treat others.
Mm-hmm. It can be more freeing too. No, I completely understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, thank you for your empathy there with that. I appreciate it. Do you have a dose of drama? It doesn't have to be complaining about movies or social things.
It could be tea.
I'll say two things. The last thing is just a sentence.
Okay.
We don't even have to talk about it. So what is my dose of drama? I would say, I guess on the same page as social cues, I don't like when people expect you to be someone you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is just like who I am. People are like, for example, if I know I'm seeing someone who I don't particularly like, or I'm not going to be fake. Or when people are like, oh, come on, like for the fans, you have to, there's a certain image. No. The fans will follow who they want to follow. And hello, they're going to talk shit about whoever they want to talk shit about. That's on them. If they want to put that energy out into their own environment, go for it. So I just like, I don't know. I'm tired of people. This is my tea, actually. Tired of people assuming something of people because social media has given so much false power to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, all of a sudden everyone's a guru, or all of a sudden everyone's a spiritual healer. All of a sudden everyone knows everything about this one person in that situation. It's like, you don't even know how to spell restaurant. You think you know someone's life that well and the details of it? No, I was talking about myself. I just still don't know how to spell restaurant.
It is tricky.
It's a really tricky word. But yeah, social media sometimes isn't too much, but it also is just a nice place to go on just to unwind and just watch stupid videos. And
mm-hmm.
But I hate when people are like, well, you should be doing this. It's like, you should shut up. Do you know what I mean?
That part, yes. And I appreciate your authenticity with that, because I think you've come across as extremely cool and normal today. And if anyone's expecting anything different than that, then they need to go stuff it.
Well, that's also kind of sad, because like, why would you not be anything but authentic? Like,
yeah,
how, right. I don't know. I guess the point is like, when you are on stage, you're just, even as normal people, because we're also normal people. Like, I just think that the most powerful thing you can do is be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not on fucking Marshall's decor for nothing. Like, be yourself. Right. It's like, even though it's really watered down, it's true. Like, even on social media, we know everything that we're seeing is not real. It's not really real. Maybe some of it is, but like, I'm not going to go up there and post my worst picture on there and be like, happy Sunday, this is me. Well, maybe I would, but like, it's not real. So I don't know why people expect to see that same false image in person. That's mm-hmm. more energy, I think, to like fake who you are. I don't know. I don't give a shit, but I do.
I don't give a shit, but I do.
But also my statement that we won't talk about because I know that we're all on the same page is that Reeve Carney should have been nominated for a Tony in 2019.
Say that. We don't need to say anymore, but I will say that that is another one of those snubs that will live in infamy.
I went off every interview I went to. They forced me to go to these press things.
Yes.
During the show schedule. When I tell you, they were like, how are you feeling today? I was like, pretty good, feeling a little lonely because my leading man should be right here next to me because he should have also been nominated. And they'd be like, oh. And I'm like, what do you say? So annoying.
Yeah, it was egregious. Yeah. It was an egregious oversight. Anyway, that's tea. Mic drop.
I don't think it was an oversight, ooh. But anyway.
You know what's crazy is I just feel like I remember that he was nominated. You know what I mean? Like when you look back.
Well, because everyone else was. You know, it was
because
like
the people would have nominated
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean people who actually are artists who watch theater, not people who have money and come to the theater because they're paid to. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, sorry. Well, listen, Eva, you are a damn delight. It was so much fun just chatting with you and, you know, learning a little bit more about your career, but also about you as a human being. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you both. I'm so happy to finally do this.
Yeah, I know.
I've been like, I want to do the podcast. Thank you so much.
Of course. And I know that social media is an illusion and that it's not everything, but people should follow you because you do put out really authentic.
You should
content.
Follow me.
Yeah. And it's just your name on Twitter, Eva Noblezada. And then it's Livev. How do you say your Instagram?
Very close. So it's just like Laviva Maria.
Laviva Maria.
Because my middle name is Maria. So it's almost saying like live Eva Maria.
It's cute.
I've never tried to say it out loud before, but I've obviously read it. So now I appreciate it. It's amazing.
It rolls off the tongue. It's like saying what that's about.
Yes.
I need to see you in Hadestown before you're not in anymore, but we don't know when that's going to be. So anyway.
We have time. I need to get a job first. And no one's hiring me. So just email me whenever you guys want to come.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you for your time today. Have a great show and enjoy your day with Petunia and Reeve. And Connor, where should people follow us?
Oh, well, you should follow at The Drama Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, me at Connor McDowell and you at Dylan McDowell.
All right, Connor, I will see you next time. Drama.